Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
You're listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. Chapter 5. The recruiters never said space travel would be glamorous, but they never said anything about the vomiting, either. Jules wiped their mouth with the back of their hand and carefully stood. As they'd disembarked at the shuttle airlock, an attendant had handed them a small pack of some kind of gel, the instructions on the wrapper indicating that they should swallow it in a single shot. Jules hadn't had a chance to even tear it open before their stomach lurched and they had to follow the bright orange line to the nearest toilet facility. Now they leaned against the cubicle wall, and in that brief respite that came after losing the contents of their stomach, they fumbled with the pack and managed to slurp down the goo. At first, they thought it wasn't going to take. The sensation of the viscous mass sliding down their throat was utterly vile. But whatever pharmaceutical sorcery was contained in the stuff worked its magic, and Jules could literally feel their stomach unclenching. They rinsed out their mouth and left the cubicle, running right into the cute attendant from the shuttle. "Sorry," they said, bouncing slightly off the man's solid chest. They managed to notice his name tag now, which read Hassan. "Don't sweat it," he said, grinning. "Between the reduced gravity and everything else," he waved his hands over his stomach in a fluttery motion, "it's easy to get discombobulated when you first arrive." "Yeah," Jules said, glancing back at the row of toilet cubicles. "That was a bit rougher than I expected." Hassan nodded. "It gets better with practice," he said, "but not much. At least I usually manage to get the Welcome to Mars special down the hatch before I have to take a trip to Chunder City." He held up a crumpled package, matching Jules' own empty gel shot container. "Better living through chemistry, right?" "Right." Jules looked up at him, knowing full well that the stirrings of feelings were really just a reaction to this man being the only person on the planet with whom Jules had exchanged more than a few words. That, and Hassan's remarkable attractiveness. At that moment, Jules could have spent a lifetime looking into those deep brown eyes. But they knew it was fleeting. Of course, everything was fleeting. "Look," Hassan said, as if reading Jules's thoughts. "I'm only on planet for a couple of nights before it's back to the grind, but why don't I show you around? It will take a while for you to get settled, and there's more here than meets the eye." He pulled out his handheld and tapped at the screen. "You have proximity turned on?" Jules fumbled for their own device and poked at the settings. "Yeah," they said, and a contact notification with what looked like a link to a map popped up. "If you're up for it, meet me here tonight," Hassan said and turned away. "It'll be more fun than space sickness, I promise." "Okay," Jules said as Hassan walked away. His long legs and the light gravity combined with an innate grace made it almost look like he was dancing. Jules had no doubt that by that evening, they'd be up for it, whatever it was. Jules found their way to the intake office and joined the lineup of new recruits. Everyone looked a little green around the gills, and someone near the front of the queue had to make a run for the toilets. The recruitment hollows never showed anything like this. But Jules was feeling better every moment, and the queue was moving steadily. Soon Jules was at the counter, facing a friendly, if slightly bored-looking, Mars Consortium staff officer. "Intake form?" the woman behind the counter gestured for Jules to pass over their handheld. She scanned a code, then tapped at her workstation. "Jules Morales, mining drone programmer, level 1? "That's me." She nodded and tapped some more. "The lock code for your apartment has been sent to your handheld, plus there's some maps of the domes and an explanation of the transit system. You'll have an orientation tomorrow, but don't worry, it's nothing too taxing, and it won't take the whole soul." She gave them a grin. "We know it takes a while to get used to everything." "Okay," Jules frowned. "The whole soul? What's that?" She laughed. A sol is a Martian day, a bit more than 24 and a half Earth hours. We still divide it by 24, so a Martian hour is a little longer than an Earth hour. So if it feels like time is dragging on, that's because it is. I guess that explains the high hourly wage then, Jules said, and she laughed. It all works out. The workday's longer, but the breaks are too. She handed Jules back their handheld and said, There's a direct link to your consortium account on there now. If you have any questions, that's the first place to look. Welcome to Mars! Jules found their apartment easily thanks to the map, but they probably wouldn't have had any trouble without it. There were only three open habitation domes, named simply B1, B2, and B3, and they were right next to each other. Their apartment was in B1, and there were signs everywhere. The interior of the dome had apartment blocks circling its edge, with straight vertical faces toward the center of the dome. As Jules looked up, they could see the curvature of the dome along the open edges between buildings, making it clear that the higher floors offered less space. That explained their apartment number, 923. They walked through the central open area toward the door marked B15, noticing a handful of people making use of the benches and tables near the spindly trees. It was not entirely dissimilar from Jules's old neighborhood, but there was no mistaking it for Earth. The air smelled wrong. Not bad, exactly, but strange. As if the seaside and an airport had a scent baby. Jules chuckled at the notion as they swiped their handheld over the reader at the door to the building. It clicked open and they walked through to a small vestibule with two corridors leading off toward the ground-level apartments and an open, spiraling lift system. They hopped onto the next step that flipped out of the central tube and rode up. They passed several identical floors before stepping off on level 9. It might be small, but it was technically a penthouse. They found 923 and tapped out the numeric code from the orientation document. "Change this passcode," flashed from the device as the door unlocked. Jules stepped inside and immediately froze. Partly because the entire apartment could be traversed in only a couple of steps, but mostly because of the view. The entire exterior wall was a window, looking out over the Martian plain. Ochre rock filled their view, with the peak of one of the mountains visible in the distance. Jules really ought to learn the names of some of these features, but it could wait. They stood and gaped at the alien view for a long time. Eventually, they snapped out of it and took the grand tour. One interior wall had a small table attached to it with hinges, with two built-in chairs that flipped out from the tabletop. Next to the table was a tiny fridge, reheater, and a set of cabinets. On the opposite wall, there was a tack board where the previous occupant had left a pin-up hollow. Jules appraised the image of the naked but modestly posed model. Whoever used to live here had good taste, at least. Jules pressed at the top of the tack board, and the whole unit popped out of the wall with a hydraulic hiss, then folded down to reveal the narrow bed. It barely cleared the table, and with them both down, the room was nearly completely filled. Okay, so it wasn't the Ritz, but the view was priceless. After a quick shower in the tiny bathroom, Jules went in search of the bar where they were meeting Hassan. At least, they assumed it was a bar. That seemed like the kind of thing that a mining colony might have. When they got off the train at a station with a new-looking sign marked Entertainment Zone, they wondered how much entertainment a place like this could really offer. Maybe two bars? There were more than two bars. Hassan's directions led them to a place with a thumping baseline, a dim interior aside from the strobing lights, and a glittering sign out front that read Sequins. Did Hassan want to meet at a dance club? They walked in and couldn't help but croak out a laugh. It was a dance club, but it was the kind where you sit and others dance. Up on the central stage were three people in various states of undress, doing frankly amazing things on a pole, a trapeze, and aerial silks. Jules found Hassan at a table near the bar and slid into the seat next to him. Incredible what you can do in lower gravity, isn't it? Hassan said, eyes on the stage. Jules debated what they wanted out of this evening, what they wanted from Hassan. They weren't entirely sure, but they didn't want to rule anything out just yet. I don't know, they said, leaning in toward Hassan, close enough to smell the oil he used on his beard. But I wouldn't mind learning. You've been listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. For more information, visit darusha.ca. Thanks for listening.